It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats, and welcome. Welcome to Sinner's Sunday, the only chapel in the known universe with cold beer, hot barbecue, and a neon cocktail sign over the door. We gather here every other Sunday to kick around things of a spiritual nature. And as some of you know, this was born of That Larry Show, where the fare is of a more temporal nature. There we've covered everything from my very own fist fight with four nuns to murder in a mob bar to, well, there are a few things we won't explore. Though we try to limit the crossover between shows, sometimes it just happens. Last week's episode was about O.J. Simpson, who has returned to his adoring public by launching a Twitter account, which will soon surpass 800,000 followers. Of course, he's not getting much love there. I'd say it's a digital tsunami of hate. O.J. posted a couple of videos of himself, and in at least one he uses the phrase, God bless. In another, he talks about his grandmother and uses the word God. For some inexplicable reason, he substitutes a dash for the O in the word as if he's editing a curse word. I don't know what that's all about. But the return of O.J. raises an interesting question people have been arguing about forever. Would God forgive O.J.? Or Hitler, or any of innumerable evildoers since the dawn of time? The answer to that question depends on which God team you're playing for. Here at Sinner's Sunday, I've long referred to organized religions as God providers. I first coined that term long ago when a group of Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door and gave me a very polite pitch for their church. Nothing wrong with that. When they were finished, I said, no thank you, I'm happy with my current God provider. And they laughed, which was pretty cool of them. But now I'm wondering if we shouldn't call them God teams. All sports are competitive, they're predicated on some type of conflict. There must be a battle of some sort, and then a winner and a loser. We seem to demand that in all things, don't we? From the time we are born, we're forced into struggles and competition. When my first kid came along, somebody asked me, what were her APGAR scores? I had no idea what the hell that meant and was astonished that people are being graded right out of the womb. And all through life, there's seldom a moment when we're not being tested or graded or evaluated. And somebody is always demanding we take a side. Can't tell you how many times growing up in New York, I was asked whether I was a Yankees or Mets fan. When I'd reply I'm not a baseball fan, some people were actually pissed off. What do you mean you're not a fan? What's wrong with you? Get with the team. Get with the program. Think with the group. What's your group, damn it? I don't like groups, or at least prepackaged ones. I prefer groups that coalesce organically. Like all of us here today, this is our group, our team. Thank you very much. That pressure to choose a side applies to what God team you're rooting for, huh? Just as with sports teams, God teams have their own outfits too. Costumes and uniforms that not only declare, I'm on this team, but indicate your rank as well. And for the team I was drafted by, the Roman Catholic Church, those costumes can be Elton John fabulous. Those towering hats, those staffs, what croziers they call them, those fabrics, those colors, fantastic. Especially when you get near the top of the organization. Think about the American military. All that separates some buck private's uniform from a four-star general's are stripes on the shoulder and some doodads on the chest, huh? But think about your rank-and-file priest, going through life in that drab black suit with a turned-around collar. Only when he's saying Mass does he get to change it up, add some color and glitter. But as pastor, bishop, cardinal, pope, oh, the sky is the limit. So the central question that separates the God teams, I guess, is the personality profile of the God. Is he a hothead? If you piss him off, will he destroy your town with fire and brimstone? Quick aside here, what is brimstone anyway? Some guys say it's burning sulfur, kind of like a matchhead, I guess. Or will hothead God flood the entire world, drown everyone except for a few righteous, and reboot the whole shebang? Will he tell you to take your favorite kid up on a mountain and shove a dagger through his heart and then put you in an arm lock at the last second and say, just kidding, Abe? Is he an I'll get back God who tells you to worship a meteorite in a box until he returns? Is he a delegator God? Does he send his son to save the world while he's otherwise engaged? Is he multi-God? Oh, there are so many of those, aren't there? Throwing thunderbolts from the Van Allen belt or bubbling up out of the sea like Godzilla. Then you have bad God, Satan. Isn't he just another God some people choose to worship? Of course, he's a punk and a rat, but he does seem kind of powerful. Or is he just a scapegoat? So when you piss off good God, you can say, the devil made me do it. Is that why Satan is so often depicted as a goat? That's always a fascinating one because goats are kind of stupid. Can you imagine a goat convincing anyone to do anything? I guess it happens. A Labrador Retriever convinced David Berkowitz to kill a bunch of people. Then you've got the elemental gods. Fire, air, water, trees, the earth itself is God Gaia. Plenty of other heavenly bodies, sun gods, moon gods. Seems like we'll worship just about anything or anyone. Movie star gods, rock star gods, politician god, dictator god, science gods, theory god like Marx. I'd have to say that the people worshippers are the dumbest of the lot. You can worship a stone or a goat or a brick of Kraft American sliced cheese, but at least those have no ulterior agenda. They're neutral. Or you could switch to sharp cheddar for a little less neutrality. There was a movie from the 80s called The Gods Must Be Crazy about a primitive tribe that worships a Coke bottle tossed out of a plane. Plenty of sophisticados worship crazier stuff than that. So after we select a god team and give everyone uniforms and positions and ranks, then we fight about more important stuff like how many angels could dance on the head of a pin, which some religious historians claim was hotly debated by theologians in the 11th century. And we wonder if God would or could forgive the evil all-stars. Maybe we should ponder the flip side of that question. If God does not forgive and flings their immortal souls into hell, does Satan have a plush duplex reserved for them because they were, after all, playing for Satan's team? Since I was raised in Team Catholic, I really liked their arrangement of the whole forgiveness thing, whereby you can do any nasty stuff you want, but if, before your last breath, you can grab hold of a priest and tell him you are sorry, then he, even a lonely foot soldier in that dull black suit, can absolve you of your heinous sins, and you can avoid hell. You might have to do a pull in purgatory, which I always figured looks like a prison or a barracks. Cinder block walls and concrete floors and cots with 2-inch mattresses and no cable, no Wi-Fi, and really lousy food. And I'd imagine purgatory is not co-ed. Or maybe it is. Souls have no flesh, so why segregate the sexes? We never say gender here. I don't believe there's any penal code for purgatory either. 5 years for holding up a junior market or 50 for murder, you know? It's all pretty vague. There's an old saying that says, to know all is to forgive all. Some say it's a French proverb. Some give it other attribution. That's a tough one to go along with. Defense attorneys probably like it. Nobody's ever guilty of anything because we've all got our reasons. On the other side of that is the concept of free will. We choose to be good people or be rotten people. all the time or some of the time or something in between. It's a spectrum, mostly. I have zero doubt that there are many, many non-Christians in this world, folks who have never worn a cross or set foot in a church or been baptized or thumbed a Bible, yet they are people living lives that would make JC smile and be very proud of them. I also know for a fact there are Christians who never miss a Mass or communion, can quote scripture and donate wads of cash, and these Christians behave much more like card-carrying Satanists. They cannot do enough evil, but they put on a mighty holy show, don't they? Those kinds of people play for every God team there is. They're called hypocrites. All about the appearance and palaver and gestures and pro forma crap. Shiny and perfumed on the outside and wormy and rotten on the inside. JC covered this topic very well with the gospel about the Good Samaritan. Maybe I'll get into that next time. But it's a beautiful day here on the second day of summer, a beach day. So go catch a wave. Oh, and does God forgive Olympic-caliber evildoers? Only God knows. By the way, we have no collection basket here at the Sinner's Sunday Chapel. But if you feel like helping us keep the lights on, go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow to donate. I'll see you Tuesday or thereabouts for the regular show. And until then, vaya con Dios.